Hello and welcome to the Girl Unlimited podcast episode 2. My first Girl Unlimited guest is my friend Deb Wolf. Deb is the founder and president of Praiseworthy Publishing based in Tampa Bay, Florida. Praiseworthy Publishing is a boutique music publisher with a vision to carry the message of hope to the world and bring dreams to life through music. Although she is an award-winning songwriter and musician, Deb has always had a passion for the business side of the music industry, and boy, did she go in deep. After attending the University of Georgia and graduating with her BBA from Georgia State University in Business Management, Deb went back to school for her post-baccalaureate education in the music business and also gained further marketing education from Cornell. She's worked in corporate America, and as a leader in Fortune 10 companies such as Coca-Cola, she has expanded her business and marketing experience, which eventually enabled her to pursue her music aspirations full time. She loves to help songwriters and artists take practical steps in fulfilling their dreams and currently does this through music publishing and placing songs in film, TV, and advertising through Praiseworthy Publishing. Deb is the real deal, my friends, and I'm so glad you get to meet someone with a tenacity and love for what she does and isn't afraid to say it as it is. I hope you enjoy this interview as much as I did. Let's get to it. Deb, it's wonderful having you on the Girl Unlimited podcast. How is the weather looking today in Tampa Bay?
It's hot here. It's really hot. It's probably going to be about 95 degrees outside.
Oh, wow. We are giving you a run for your money. For the first time, I can say that because it's it's a nice, well, we deal with centigrade. I don't know what Fahrenheit really is, but we are about 29, 27, 29 today, which is ridiculous for the UK.
Yeah, it's typical like that here in Florida. So,
one of the things I hated so much about you. Don't mind me. I'm just.
Yes. once we get through August, maybe September, then the hurricanes will start coming and then we have a beautiful time.
Oh my goodness. Hurricanes. Oh, Jesus. You know, guys, I used to have these phone calls with Deb a few years ago and she would be on her bike and, you know, taking this call. And then it is, you know, with the backdrop of this amazing, glorious weather. And then we here in the UK will be freezing. And I was like, oh God, I don't even understand what is going on now. And she will be in shorts and a tank top. And those are things that we can't boast of doing here in the UK for more than, I don't know, 2 months in a year. But it's amazing to have you on the podcast. I've always been intrigued and I've always admired you and your drive and your work ethic. And I was like, I need to have you on I need to have you on the podcast, definitely. So, I mean, I always like to go way back, you know, to a trip down memory lane. What was 8-year-old Deb or 12-year-old Deb or maybe 5-year-old Deb, was there any indication she will be doing what she's doing now? What grown-up Deb is
not
doing
a
now?
not a clue. I grew up in a musical family though, so I mean, I learned how to play piano. My mom is an opera singer and my stepfather was an opera singer, and we were in New York. My mom was in the Met and all of that fun stuff, and so I grew up learning classical piano. I played first chair clarinet and band all through middle school and high school. And then I haven't picked up a clarinet since, and that's been a while. but you know, I did love the piano. I really did love the piano. The way we grew up, we were pretty poor, honestly. Mm. We lived the starving artist life. Mm. And so I think my desire was not to be in music because of that. That's the honest truth. I mean, you know, I think I went to college for business. I was great in math as well. So I was like, all right, we're gonna do this.
So what did you think you were going to
do? A lot of things transpired since then, obviously.
So what then did you, so you what did you study in college?
Business and math.
Business and math. Okay. So did you like know you were, because I know you did, you know, you were in corporate America for a while. So
yes.
Is that where you kind of saw your future?
Yeah, I finished college and I immediately became the director of meetings and banquets at a hotel. And, wow, okay. You know, I did that for a while. And then something pulled me away to go back to college for music. I have no idea why I did that. But I did. I went back for commercial music. So this was a new program back then, understanding the business behind the music business. Mm. So I left my corporate job and went back to school. We worked at a radio production company for a little while and waitressed and bartended and did all that fun stuff to put myself back through college.
Wow.
And then something happened that made me leave the music industry. And I think it was just more of an integrity thing. Somebody, you know, a married man asked me, you know, out to dinner because he thought he was going to help my career. And I thought, oh, that's fine, you know. And I thought that's what he was doing until we got back in the car and then he tried to, you know, kiss me. So I was like,
oh, wow.
Nope, I'm not doing this. And that gave me a bad taste for the music industry all around. Mm-hmm. And so I left, you know, and I didn't do anything. And I, you know, I have one more credit to get another degree in commercial music, but yeah.
Oh, wow.
So I moved, I went to Coca-Cola at that time. I started working at Coca-Cola and, you know, my corporate America career, I was leadership in Coca-Cola, Pepsi and Tropicana and Verizon. And, you know, did that whole stint. And then actually in between Tropicana and Verizon, I left again for music.
So there was obviously this thing drawing you in.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Oh. But I don't really, you know, the first time I really didn't know what it was. The second time, I believe it was God calling me mm-hmm. to step out in faith. Mm-hmm. And so I did, and I freaked out, honestly. I was a songwriter, and I could not write one song after that because there was so much pressure on me that I'd sit down and write and I couldn't do it. And so, yeah, but well, I did learn a lot.
At the time I met Deb, if I remember correctly, correct me if I'm wrong, but you were on this, you were on this road to writing one song per day.
Yes.
Do you still do that?
No, but yeah, I do something toward writing every day. Mm. I used to write a full song every day. Now I spend a lot more time on the piano. Mm. So I am writing in a different way every day or doing something toward that. Yeah.
That's amazing. I couldn't imagine. I mean, when you used to talk about it, but I'm guessing it built that muscle so now you can relax and then do, you know, as and when you will, as it were. But I know, you know, from talking with you in the past and then seeing some of the things you put on social media, because obviously I did a bit of snooping, as everyone does, I've come to know that you had this special relationship with your dad.
Dad is passed.
Yeah, I know his past. God rest his soul.
You know, my parents were divorced when I was young, so.
Right. Okay.
I didn't see my dad except for the summer and on Christmas. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
How did that impact your life growing up?
You're gonna make me cry.
It's fine. I know people are gonna listen to this, but to be honest, I think that, you know, a lot of people probably are gonna resonate with whatever you're gonna share. I had my own history with my parents and I grew up in a very dysfunctional family. I don't know if I ever shared it with you, but you know, it's what's made us who we are today. All these little bits have come together to make us
right.
And made you the formidable woman I know you to be. So it's all good.
Yes. My daddy is my daddy. You know, he's gone now, so it's hard, but you know, he always supported me, always, you know, rooted for me. He always loved me, you know, and I didn't, because I wasn't with him all the time, I didn't feel that, but you know, a couple months out of the year. So that was tough, to be away from him. My sister and I would cry and cry and cry when we'd have to go back home to New York, because my dad lived in Atlanta and my mom lived in New York. And we'd get on the airplane, we'd be crying, and my dad would be bawling. Wow. And it was just, it was heartbreaking. You know, it was heartbreaking. But, you know, I actually, that's the reason why I went to college in Georgia, so I could be closer to my dad.
Mm. You know. Wow. It's interesting because there's someone I heard speak a long time ago. She talked about, you know, kids getting, both female and male, actually getting their validation from their father. That's paternal figure in their lives. And, you know, many of us take, you know, a lot of us take for granted that place of, you know, of a father. In some cases, it's a place of a mother. And, you know, I know we live in a society now where, you know, divorce, and I'm not saying people should stay together if it's absolutely not working out or if there is some abuse in that relationship. But, you know, it always breaks my heart when I think about the impact it has on the children of that relationship, if there are children in that relationship. So thanks for sharing that, because I know it wasn't easy. So how did you... Now, I know you've been doing music full-time for a few years now. So how did you transition from corporate America to music publishing, which is what you're doing? And I mean, I'm going to ask you about the whole music publishing thing, because I mean, why music publishing of everything else? There are so many, I mean, paths you could have taken. So from corporate America into publishing, and then why publishing?
Okay, so I've had Praiseworthy Publishing for 20 years.
Wow, okay.
And so I did it while I was in corporate America. Mm. I started Praiseworthy because my sister, who is an artist, an amazing, you know, she got the vocal cords of my stepfather, who was an opera singer, and my mother, who was an opera singer. I did not get those vocal cords. I can sing, you know, in church, and, you know, God gives me the grace to do that. He equips those who are called sometimes, but not always, you know, I compare myself to my sister. So I never, honestly, until recently, I would never call myself an artist ever. And that's really a sad thing, because I really am, and I really was, because of the comparison to my sister, I didn't. Anyway, she wanted to release some songs, and she's not really a songwriter. And so I wrote her a whole bunch of songs, and she released an album. And she's released, I think, 5 or 6 albums now, all with my songs. And so you know, but because I went to college for business, I was like, oh, well, we need to register these. We need to do all this. So I started self-publishing 20 years ago. And so, you know, so that, you know, we could have the income that those songs being out there created.
Quick question. Just on the back of that, because you've talked about being a songwriter and, you know, songwriting. How did you even know you could write songs? I mean...
You know, that goes back to that. Why did I leave, you know, the hotel to go back to college? I had written one song at that time, you know, and I was already 20 something. So I'm like, it's not like it was ingrained in me. I just had this pull. And, you know, when I was in college, I would hang out with, you know, some studios in Atlanta, Lowry Studios and different things. And actually, I was with the Atlanta Rhythm Section, which is used to be a big band. You know, and they were writing their song, and I was like, oh, what? I don't remember the line that I added to their song, but they were stuck. And I was like, how about this? And they're like, perfect. And that's the line they used for their song. And I was like, oh, that's cool. And I think I just started writing. It's been a long time. So, I don't even know the answer to that. It just came.
Wow. No, it's interesting, because it's, from what I'm hearing you say, it's a natural gift, you know, something that, you know, so I'm guessing there was obviously something there, and then you literally built on that, you honed that skill over.
Because you should have heard some of my first songs.
it's amazing, because you're telling me that your sister has recorded 5 to 6 albums, and they're I mean, and for the musicians listening to this, I'm hoping you're hearing what we're sharing here, because so many people are gifted in different ways. There are some people are just like she was talking about, her sister having the vocal cord, even though I think she is an artist herself. I know she's an artist herself, but you know, Deb is sharing about her sister having, you know, inheriting, as it were, the vocal cords, but it seems like you inherited the songwriting chops. So, and there are some people that are like that. Their strength, they might know how to sing really beautifully, but probably they have this edge with songwriting, and some other people is the other way around, and some other people is they just know how to express themselves better with an instrument, and there's nothing wrong with that. And it's owning your lane and then collaborating with other people to create something really beautiful. But a lot of independent artists that I know tend to just they almost like they want to hoard it all and keep it to themselves. So they do the songwriting themselves, they do the singing themselves, some of them even do the producing themselves and then the mastering themselves. And I'm like,
yeah.
I'm not saying that people aren't gifted, but I am sure that one of those four or five different elements, somebody else probably could have done it better. Just saying.
There's very few people who have it all. I mean, I work with some of them that can do it all. But you know, they are, even then they're stronger in some ways than others, and collaboration in this business is a big thing, you know? I wrote a song once, the symphony, something about the symphony. It's been a while, but it was like how everybody has their own part. You can't have a symphony with one person. Well, you can now with Dawes, but you know, it's a live concert. You can't have a symphony playing with just one person. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's all about working together to accomplish a goal.
I hear that. You are an accomplished musician in yourself. And I mean, just recently you have come to the forefront and you're now releasing your own music instead of just supporting artists. I've always known you to be this champion for, you know, musicians and artists themselves, but now you are actually now coming to the forefront. So tell us a little bit about that.
Okay, so that actually started a couple of years ago, honestly, through doing a book called The Artist's Way and actually unblocking my own artist out of that. And also the Enneagram has played a whole part in my growth in the last couple of years. So understanding who I am, I'm a one on the Enneagram, which is the perfectionist and I prefer to call her the reformer. But also, you know, one of the ways that my Enneagram type can be in health is to have fun. And so that's why I created Rain Wolf. I wanted to have fun. And, you know, so I had someone create a little watercolor with a little umbrella with little piano notes on it and this cool little colorful wolf. And I thought, yes, this describes who I want to be as an artist. And I put out, you know, one song just to see how it was going to go. And actually I got some pretty good response. Again, it's not because, you know, I'm that great. It's because there's some marketing behind it and there's actually promotion behind it. And the people who, you know, I know a lot of artists who have great voices, write great songs. They put things out on Spotify and crickets, nothing happens. And, you know, unfortunately, I think Spotify now is up to 60,000 songs loaded per day. So there's a lot of competition out there. The market's wide open because of it, but also there's so much competition. So in order to rise to the top and get those listeners, you have to actually promote. Mm. And that's part of the reason why I'm not called Deb over there, because I don't want to promote myself.
No one likes promoting themselves.
So I'm now recording. Yeah. So like Rain Wolf is like my inner child. Mm. That's who she is. She's my inner child and she's, you know, she's having fun. I actually started watercolor after I had someone create her. Now all of my artwork that goes with my releases are watercolor paintings that I've done.
That is so cool. Oh, so two things that have just come to my mind now, just listening to you talk. Because I remember when we had that challenge, because we used to be in this group and we had this challenge of, you know, of the artist's way. And I know we are both notepad and paper girls, so we like to write. And I know one of the things that the Artist's Way promotes is doing this morning pages. But apart from that, it also talks about going to this artist dates. And I feel jealous now, because I kind of feel like I need to go pick up that book again and like really dive deep into it. So are you saying that, you know, this all came as a result of that? Because I've known you, you've always been brilliant, but did you probably need that extra, I don't know, validation that came, or did you need to see it for yourself?
So what the book helps me do was release fear.
Right. That's powerful.
I think, because the reason I never called myself an artist, because I was afraid. I was afraid to, because I compared myself with my sister and every other great artist out there. It helped me to, it unlocked what was deep inside of me, and this creative little girl that just had a desire to have fun. And it really did open me up to try that. I mean, I was a workaholic in corporate America. I mean, and I am still today. But you know, I'm now practicing what the book teaches, and that is to go have fun, have an artist date, appreciate what you're, it doesn't have to be perfect right away. Yeah. Thank God, because, you know, you see my, you know, you just, I compare my very first watercolor with Picasso. Well, hello.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you can't do that. People who write songs, they can't compare that. My very first song, I posted it on Facebook going, what was I thinking? What does this even mean? Like one of my early songs, I was like, I had like no clue what I was doing. I was just spewing out stuff. And I learned the craft through, you know, practice and learning and going to seminars. And actually, you know, I think you mentioned earlier, I do lead songwriting groups and retreats. Because of COVID, we stopped doing it in person. We started doing it online, which didn't work so well. So we'll get back to that. But we've just had a retreat. I was invited to a retreat a couple of months ago, which was fun, you know, outlet. But yeah, Rainn Wolf is definitely my inner child. Now my other, the critical part of me, I call her Icy. So you got Icy and Rainn, you know, kind of working together. I sound like a, you know, like a schizophrenic.
No, I think these two parts are usually in conflict and are embedded in every artist, everyone who calls themselves a creative, and anyone who has to put out stuff of it. Because what you're doing every single time that you release anything is you're putting a piece of yourself out there to be mocked, to be loved, to be criticized, you know. So, and it's hard. So I like the way you're really smart. I like the way you've gone about it. So you, like you said, you don't really like self-promotion. So instead of allowing that stop you, which is the case for a lot of artists, because and that's the reason, you know, you were talking about artists, you know, really being good, lovely voices, amazing songs, but it's crickets because they're not promoting it. And I believe that one of the reasons they're not, maybe I'm speaking from the standpoint of an artist myself, because I know how tough it is to promote yourself, especially as an independent artist. If you're with a record label, it's different because you have all these things in place. But as an indie artist, you have to do most of the work. I mean, it's not like you're not going to maybe get people to help you out here and there, but you are doing most of the work. And most creatives that I've come across don't really like promoting themselves. So I wish we all did what you did and went to find ourselves a Rainn Wolf, or I don't know, call myself Storm, because I've always loved Storm
there you go. Story. Now you have an alter ego. So there's your alter ego.
Amazing. So what ultimately, with all these different parts and everything you're doing now, what ultimately inspires you, Deb?
Well, what inspires me? God. Mm. You know, really, God is an integral part of my life. And he is the one who inspired, and I just look outside and look at his creation, mm-hmm. and that just inspires me. Being, you know, in his company just inspires me. That's a difficult question, because I feel like I'm always inspired, you know. Now, whether I do anything with that is another mm-hmm. story, but like my ears are open. My eyes are open to see the goodness that's out there. And a lot of times that's where some of my songs come from. I heard somebody say something in a sermon or the grocery store or on the radio. And I'm like, ooh, that's a great line. Let me start with that as a songwriter.
I hear you. I think most creatives, I'd like to say, and I stand to be corrected, but I think we are probably the best observers and the best collectors. Yes. So we observe and yes. then we collate and we collect. So many times it's not like it just comes from some sort of stratosphere most of the time. Most of the time is, and I love that you've trained yourself to see the good. And that's, you know, I wish more people did that, because obviously I think if more of us did that, and I know you're not perfect, none of us are, but I know just having that practice of always seeing the good, I think would ultimately make the world a much better place. So would you say that you have finally, that you are living your dream life? So, you know, now that you're doing music publishing full time?
You know, I think I've lived my dream in all parts of my life, you know, and so, yes, the answer is yes. But, you know, there's obviously things I strive for still.
As we all
know,
do. Yeah.
That I pray for, that I want mm-hmm. to happen. You know, I'd love to have more placements.
Of course.
You know, we'd love to have that. But I think the advice that I would give is just don't give up. And don't let the fear, the doubt, and the discouragement keep you from doing what God created you to do. It's hard to do it sometimes. It's hard to fight the fear. It's hard, you know. I have an example of when I was finally released, and I was very afraid of leading worship myself. I didn't mind with the whole band, but by myself, I froze, and my hands would get sweaty. My you know, heart would beat really fast. And last August, my worship leader asked me to lead a Celebrate Recovery group, which I was like, oh, that's cool. There's only 7 or 8 people. I can do it. I'll do it. So it was just me by myself. There's 80 people in the room that day. And I'm like, oh, Lord, help me. And I just let it go for the first time in all of my years. And I did fine. And I was like, okay, this is awesome. And I think that also catapulted some other growth, you know, because I stepped out in fear. I did it anyway. You know, I was still afraid, but I still did it. And I think that is something that I would tell people. And also have fun. You know, have fun. Do what you love. Because if you're doing what you love, somehow it'll balance. It'll be a balance.
I hear that. So going back to our first question. So the 8-year-old, I'm just using 8, it's not necessarily 8, but I mean, you remember we had this thing we did, an exercise we did in a group that we belonged to in the past, where we were told to write this letter to our, you know, childhood selves. And, you know, we had to have this picture out of ourselves, and then we had to, you know, type this letter. And it made such a huge difference in my life. I loved doing it. It was really transformational for me. So looking back at 8-year-old Deb, you know, who didn't want anything to do with the starving artist lifestyle, and who, you know, headed straight into corporate America, what would you tell her today? If there's something you could tell her, if you had an opportunity to speak to her, what would you say?
Don't be so hard on yourself, probably. Have fun. Yeah, probably. You know, don't be so hard on yourself. I mean, honestly, 8 years old is when my parents got divorced. So that's kind of a hard time for me. And it's really hard for me to pick other times, because then you're a little older and then you're too young. And so 8 years old is a good date. Yeah. But it just so happens to be the time that, you know, a lot of chaos happened in my life. So
would you say you're better off as a result, you know, maybe not in spite of, or as a result? I mean,
Oh, in spite of, for sure. I mean, I feel like, you know, everything we go through molds us, I believe. And the hard things, you know, you can't have a testimony unless you have a test.
True.
Right. And so we're going through these tests so that we can get to the level that we want to be at.
I agree 100%. So, Deb Wolf, where can we find you if anyone wants to connect with you? I'm guessing, you know, I mean, there's so much we didn't touch on, and I know I'm going to have you back. I hope you don't mind, because there's so much I want to ask you, you know.
If I did, okay.
No, seriously, your process.
You know, I was nervous. You know,
we were both nervous together. So this is good. So, good. I mean, we've gotten most of the nervousness out now. So when we do this again, and I hope we do that again soon, because I really want to dig into your experience and your, you know, so you were talking, you talked a little bit about, you know, people not knowing how to promote themselves. That is a very big thing I wish we could like really delve into. You've talked a lot about having fun, your creative process. I would have loved to delve into that a little bit, just to know what it's like to be Deb Wolf. But today's probably not the day. We will find another time. Well, when you come back and then we can have this conversation. So where can people find you, Deb?
Well, my Praiseworthy Publishing is, you know, at Praiseworthy Publishing on Facebook and Instagram. Twitter is at Praiseworthy Pub, because they don't let you have the long names. But if you want to, if you're encouraged by piano music and you like neoclassical piano, you can find me at Rainwolf Music, at all those platforms, or on Spotify or
absolutely
wherever. So
fantastic. All the links she shared, I'm going to put in the show notes anyway, so guys, just click away. And she's an amazing, you know, like I said in the beginning, you're just one of those people that I've always admired. I'm very appreciative that you're in my life, and you know, it's been wonderful knowing you so far. I mean, it's been a few years now, and I'm grateful that we have that connection, and I'm thank you for coming on the podcast.
I would say ditto. Love you.
Thank you. What an absolute pleasure it was to have Deb Wolf as my first Girl Unlimited podcast guest. I had a couple of takeaways I wanted to share with you, and I'm hoping you got your takeaways as well. The first one is, sometimes you find what you were created to do in the place of simply having fun. And then, when you do discover your calling, never let fear or doubt or discouragement keep you from doing what you're called to do. The first is, sometimes you find what you were created to do in the place of simply having fun. That was my favorite takeaway of all. And then secondly, when you do discover your calling, never let fear or doubt or discouragement keep you from doing what you're called to do. I hope you enjoyed that episode as much as I did. And if you did, would you do me a huge favor? Would you consider subscribing to the podcast and leaving a review on either Spotify or Apple Podcasts or iTunes or whatever platform you listen? That way, more amazing people just like yourself can join in the fun. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for doing that. And then until next time, remember, you are a unique, remarkably created person with a God-given purpose and unlimited potential. The question is, what are you going to do about it?